Listening to KHENLP FM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community supported radio, and we're streamed on the internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.gimmesometruth.info, a link from the khen.org website. And I'm Melody, and my co-host tonight is Katie O'Brien this evening. And truth... Oh boy, my mind just went blank. Okay, anyways, I'm going to say the disclaimer first. The views expressed on this program are those of myself and are my guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And our special guest this evening is Gary Richard Arnold. And I'm going to let him introduce himself a little bit. Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And great. And so give us a little idea of what your background is, because you've got an interesting one.
Well, you asked me a little bit earlier how I happen to know Anthony Hilder, and we've been around a long time, and I guess we've been attending a lot of or going to a lot of the same places, not even knowing each other was there. Probably start this thing off back in 1962 when the conservatives were starting to take over the Republican Party of Los Angeles and other areas in anticipation of having Barry Goldwater win the nomination against Nelson Rockefeller. And so we were up in 1964 at the Cow Palace at that time, and I was helping a conservative run in his primary down in the Los Angeles, Inglewood, Westchester area, and he successfully won his primary. 2 years later, I ran for that same office and won a contested primary, but I had the advantage of all of those books that were produced in 1964, which were None Dare Call It Treason, The Choice Not to Echo, et cetera, et cetera. So we purchased boxes of those that had not been used yet. So we distributed some 47,000 paperback books into an assembly district. And the establishment didn't know what to do. We did that in combination with a newspaper tabloid. I think it was about 16, 20 pages. And we went after the National Council of Churches, the Council on Foreign Relations, etc. So they were quite concerned that this might be an upset or something that they better take care of. Again, this is near the Los Angeles International Airport. They bought time, radio time, all the way down in XEMO, all the way from Mexico to broadcast to totally cover Southern California to attack this little candidate here running in one little assembly district. They did ethnic mailings. They set up the union set up three offices within an assembly district, which is unheard of. The National Council of Churches sent out people to the various churches where they could get their speakers in to, you know, attack this extremism or radicalism where we were insisting on the Constitution as a basis for policy and laws. But anyway, that was my baptism into politics. And I've won contested nominations. Usually I'm in a district that's 2-1 registration against me, but we've always won the contested primaries. Won another one for state senate and then for Congress back in the 1980s. The 1981 was kind of was very interesting, and it turns out more so as time develops. I had run against the Congressman Leon Panetta, who is now the head of the CIA, appointed by Obama. And
these guys never go away, do they?
No, they don't. Although, like Newt Gingrich, Leon Panetta was working for Nelson Rockefeller in the 1964.
Another one that didn't go away either. He had to die in office.
Exactly. In fact, I think there's a DVD that the John Birch Society's put out on Newt Gingrich. It's probably worth taking a look at. I think they did some excellent work on that. For those people that have been kind of following some of Glenn Beck's programs, pointing out the Marxism of the various Obama appointees, our friend Leon Panetta, it's a wonder he got to be appointed the head of the CIA. For in the community in Santa Cruz, there was a man by the name of Hugh DeLacy. Now, this is what the California Senate says about Hugh DeLacy, and the reason why I'm giving a background on him is that he was honored at a local hall out here called the Loudon Nelson Center, and couple dozen people showed up to honor him, and they signed a proclamation in for him and his wife, and they signed off as comrades. His wife was an organizer in Kansas for the Communist Party, and this is what the California legislature says about Hugh DeLacy. Devoted virtually all of his time to operation of Communist Front operations and spreading Communist propaganda. Belonged to an intellectual group that has followed the Communist Party as it switched and squirmed in the support of the foreign policy of Soviet Russia. Also attending that particular meeting was a man by the name of Dan Bessie, and he is the son of Alva Bessie, one of the Hollywood Ten. And the House Committee on Un-American Activities says this about him.
When you're saying Hollywood Ten, is that going back to the McCarthy era?
Yes, it is. There were 10 Hollywood Reds that a couple clicks on the computer, and that'll bring everybody up to date. Alva Bessie is referred to as one of a very accurate list whose purpose was to set up an espionage system helping Soviet Union, according to government reports. Now, so here you got Leon Panetta, who's now the head of a CIA, going to honor this guy as part of this party, a guy setting up, you know, one of a very accurate list setting up espionage system. In addition to that, Hugh DeLacy was associated with Agnes Smidley, and that's the sword spy ring, considered the most successful spy ring in world history, and that was out of Japan. But anyway, it goes on and on. Leon Panetta has virtually been, you know, the communist aspect isn't really as important as is the banking aspect. I mean, his connections with Nelson Rockefeller and Lady Winthrop Rockefeller. He stopped by Arkansas in order to get his blessings later on. And as late as last year, he was on a committee called the Pew Commission on the Oceans, in which they want to turn the oceans over to the United Nations, which the surface of the world is, what, three-quarters water, so they want to turn three-quarters of the Earth's surface over to the United Nations. But his co-chairman on that was Rockefeller III.
Didn't they already turn the oceans over to the UN?
Well, they're working on it. Bush, together with Howard Taft III, who's a member of Skull and Bones, was working from that aspect. They're moving on all levels, both overtly and secretly. In fact, talking about knowing I was going to talk to you in Colorado there, you had a governor that talked about this regional governance that's being imposed everywhere, and there's an outfit called ICLEI, and that's called the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, but all it really is it's a front for the World Bank and the United Nations, and what they do is they hook up with your cities, and they harmonize the laws in preparation for the North American Union. And I'll read you off a dozen cities in Colorado that has signed that contract. If you got a second here, because this is probably more pertinent to Colorado here. Westminster, Manitoba Springs, Loveland, Lafayette, Goldland, Frisco, Durango, Denver, Carbondale, Boulder, Aspen, and Alvarado. So all of those cities have signed on and are making policy not according to the people that live there, but in order to please the World Bank and the United Nations. And what it does is it changes self-government to regional governance in which the people have very little to say.
That's set up like with the Council of Governments and that sort of thing, isn't it? You know, are you recognize what I'm talking about?
I know that throughout the land there are, like, in California there's a California League of Cities. There's Rockefeller set up out of his University of Chicago many years ago. It was referred to as Metro 1313, and they set up unions for the city finance officers, for the city managers, for the housing officials. Some 23 or 24 organizations were set up by Rockefeller so that he could eventually manipulate or control the people at the local level. And they, from the University of Chicago, they broke off. Many of them, some of the organizations went to New York and some went to Washington, D.C. Now, you had a governor in Colorado way back during the World War II, between 38 and 42, and he saw what was happening. If you ever read Dr. Anthony Sutton book on America's Secret Establishment, he was a man that first exposed the Skull and Bones organization because a wonderful lady whose father and grandfather were members of Skull and Bones shared information with him so that he could write that particular book. And for people listening, this is a wonderful present, because that book is a free download on the Internet. If they look up America's Secret Establishment and type in free download, they'll be able to see the beginnings of translating these papers so that the people could find out about the Skull and Bones, which was founded in 1832. And, of course, there's Illuminati connections. There's they only induct 15 people per year. It's not a huge organization, but it consists of the inner wiring or the nervous system of the alphabet organizations, such as the Bilderbergers, the Trilats, and the Council on Foreign Relations, etc. But in there, he shows very early on they knew how to use public monies in order to propel their affairs and their goals. And regional governance has been part of those tools for a long, long time. Now, when your Governor Ralph Carr said this about regional government in right at the beginning of World War II, he says this regional authority constitutes the most violent attack on the American constitutional way of life that has ever been made, as it will grow, if unchecked, will develop into the bitterest issue that the American people have encountered since slavery. There are those who charge us we are narrow-minded when we do not accept the so-called national viewpoint. The answer is our country is... Oh, let me jump a few here. There exists in this country today a plan to commence a remodeling of the lives of American freemen on a basis so dictatorial, so monarchistic, so bureaucratic that its very exposition proves its hostility to our American form of government. But I can go on and on with these quotes that your governor made about, you know, the dangers of regional government. In fact, that might be, if you've got some listeners that have some time, maybe a couple of them can get together and bring up that information and use that as a powerful tool, because it comes from you guys here locally. But we have the same plan here in Santa Cruz. The city of Santa Cruz have been signing on to these Agenda 21 ICLEI Accords. In fact, I was at the Board of Supervisors today shaming them on their pushing the Copenhagen Treaty, etc. But again, if the people participate, if we have the information, which we do, I mean, the information is so hard that it does take them aback. And I don't know what the little city councils and counties are like in Colorado, but here a lot of times they have them on local television. They replay them several times. The information goes into archives that can be retrieved at a click of a mouse or a visit by somebody on the Internet. So if you use the open forum time or the open mic that most city councils provide for 2 or 3 minutes for people to say something, that would be really valuable, as to go ahead and plan your people to plan their presentation and submit some paperwork so that both the city council or supervisors have the material. It goes into the records, and you're getting beyond the newspapers. And once in a while, you'll have somebody from the local paper there also. So it puts everybody on notice that we know that they know that we know that they know, type of thing. And we're getting more and more people to participate here. They're talking about the shots, the abuse by the Baxter International. They're talking about the fluoride. In fact, we've been able to beat fluoride back a couple times in this area.
Now, don't you have an organization that's pretty strong in your area, Freedom 21 or Freedom Advocates, something like that?
Yeah, in fact, the gentleman, Michael Shaw, was brought into the original Agenda 21, and of course he, you know, recoiled and backed out of it, and has done a very excellent job on providing research. And if you go to freedomadvocates.org, I believe it is, people can find a wealth of information. And he's got the attention and the detail that I don't particularly have. I've got more of the getting the information, into the field.
Yeah, and why don't you give your websites, by the way? you don't want to give them?
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
I said, do you want to give your websites while you're at it?
Oh, my website is called themuckraker.net. And it really hasn't been updated for some time, but there's some really valuable material in there.
Okay.
And I don't know if you got that little Orphan Annie article on one of the packets I sent you.
Uh-huh.
But back some time ago, probably 30 years ago, Orphan Annie, the comic strip, was a national product throughout the papers, you know, throughout the United States, and it used to be in the LA Times regularly. And on this one cartoon panel, which people can find on my website, the author, Leonard Starr, is talking about the Trilateral Commission, but he calls it the Pan-Continental Alliance. And in the little balloon, bubble balloon, in which Warbox is talking, he says it's a group consisting of the most powerful international bankers and multinational conglomerates in the U.S., Western Europe, and Japan, ostensibly formed to improve trade and economic growth among the countries for the mutual benefit of all. And little Orphan Annie goes, but isn't that good? If it were true, yes, but their actual purpose is to control the economy of the free world and to feed their insatiable greed. But can't those governments of those countries stop them? Oh, yes, but they have a plan that their own men are to be elected as leaders. And little Orphan Annie goes, and presidents? But anyway, I mean, you're getting stuff right out there in the public in the open, and this was some 30 years ago, which...
Well, you know, I mean, these guys started a long, long time ago doing this. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you go back. I don't know if you're familiar with any of the work of Bernardine Smith and the Second Amendment group. Are you familiar with her?
Yeah, no, Bernardine's been out there a long time. She's kept that torch alive for... before the Internet was around.
Long before the Internet.
Yeah. And, no, she's done a terrific, terrific job. But, yeah, you're right. We've had even people of stature and in position, like Lewis McFadden, who was the chairman of the House Banking Committee for 10 years. And then he's shouting out, he says, there's not a man within the sound of my voice who does not know the nation is run by the international bankers. The Fed is setting up a world financial power independent above the government of the United States, transforming the U.S., from the most active manufacturing of nations into a consuming and importing nation with the balance of trade against it. But, you know, we've had these patriots out there for a long time, but we've never had the newspapers to carry that data. And that's why the Internet and actually the DVDs and newspaper tabloids, I still like to use those. You can print up a 24-page newspaper for the same cost as it costs you to send something in a number 10 envelope. So it's just a matter of getting the numbers up enough to make it, you know, to make it worthwhile. But the people, you know, I'm kind of excited the fact that I'm running into people that they have different parts of the story. So the story has been getting around.
Do you actually see a way to stop this when... It seems like this started a long time ago, and we're already kind of down the rabbit hole.
Well, the advantage is that they've had to hold it together with lies. You know, people are, you know, anesthetized, and we're not going to get, you know, a majority believing us. But the percents of people in a country that move the thing on the fulcrum is you know 3 or 4% on one side or the other, and it's to use that information. And again, they're in a very defensive position, although they do certainly have the the power and the money. But most of the people that they have in position, they've been lied to get them into the position. They've gone on by compartmentalizing information. To not let the whole, you know, the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And so
but isn't
they're not as coordinated as they think, that, you know, as they need to be to finish it off. And at the same time, you can pick up a blank DVD for 25, 30 cents. Most people have computers now that can reproduce them one at a time. So they could knock off, you know, 10 a day minimum. They have other ones that you can get from disc makers and other people. They'll pop out seven every 10 minutes. So we've got a program over here called Neighborhood Knowledge, and we've got probably about 8 or 10 different DVDs where there's, you know, permission to circulate them. We put them in a little double envelope, so if we find a resident, we're trying to work with residences first rather than apartments because it's more likely the person's going to vote, so at least we target it a little bit so that it'll have some staying power. And we also distribute them when we go before the Board of Supervisors, whether it's an Agenda 21 disc that Shaw might have put together, or if it's on global warming or there's many of Alex Jones' ones that apply very well, the end game and the fall of the republic. So they usually get a double packet. So you can buy one of these double envelopes for, geez, I don't know, seven cents, and you get two DVDs for, you know, maybe 25 cents a piece. And
put out a lot of information.
And a little sticker. And, yeah, it's not like just handing them a brochure. If they sit down to that thing, they got a couple of hours of heavy-duty, hardcore professional or semi-professional presentation. You're not going to get everybody to watch it, but we don't need everybody to watch it.
There only needs to be a certain percentage of people to really get, you know.
And it's to be a critical point. I'm walking into clerks now, and just people in general that know, you know, more of this stuff all the time. And now's the time to really push and make that effort.
What do you know about that Project 350?
The 350 is, I did look that up, and let me see if I can run so much stuff through my head here. I know that the program and the demonstrations that they did in our county, it was kind of hilarious. We have a county clock over here where we have a university, and that's where all the protests and so forth go on. We had the county tax collector, and we had a board supervisor member come up there, and one acted as a judge, and they declared the car was evil, and they had some bicyclers push the car over to the jailhouse because it was a polluting, evil thing. But I got there a little bit late for his deal, and of course he was talking about the polar bears and the rising tides and everything, and that's why I had so much fun this morning at the Board of Supervisors, because of the break on the conspiracy on this global warming issues. We brought up different points before, but the very fact that they've been caught, changing
the data
times from, you know, the timelines from 1,000 to 2,000 years and adding to every single temperature rate and then destroying the original records. The fact that some of it been fired and some have resigned, I mean, it was just really fun to, you know, go in there and let them have it. Because in the old days, I guess, when global cooling was cooking, they were talking about the armadillos running south to stay warm. And, of course, now they got the lie with the polar bears, and we got five times as many polar bears now as we did 20, 25 years ago.
And so, it's amazing how easy it is to pull these scams over if you just put a lot of money into propaganda and the press. And this is why this is the most unique time that I can think of in history that we have, because of the Internet, we can circumvent their press control.
Absolutely, and it is really fun. But, you know, make sure you have enough, you know, when you go to the city councils and the whatever. I'm sure most of them have adopted stuff, you know, even people that are totally innocent, they see something that says environment or green or something, and they fold. But make sure you have some good information, and there's plenty out there now to be able to use. And again, Shaw's or freedomadvocates.org, he's got a lot of materials on there, and he's had a few DVDs that he's allowed out without, you know, that we have permission to reproduce and put out there. We put together a program out here too called Freedom Forum, and we've been getting, I don't know, 50 to 70 people a month showing a different movie, and about, you know, 20 or 30 of them are different each time. But even that's, you know, they're all going home with DVDs that they're purchasing and spreading. So that's become a regular input of more information.
Now, what you're talking about...
In our
about...
area also, in the Monterey Bay area, there's three major newspapers, and Bill Gates, with his foundation, came in and bought the three papers and put it actually under your guy over there in Colorado, Dean Singleton, I think is his name, who's in charge of media, whatever it is. I can't think of the name right offhand. But today in the newspaper, there were three, the newspapers are getting so thin here, they're hardly enough to line a birdcage. But there were three full-page ads. One was Chevron, Bank of America, and one from Big Pharma. So it's down to where the multinationals are keeping these papers alive in order to sell, you know, the UN propaganda and the other things that are going on. But we're going to be in for some shock and awe, I'm sure, and it's probably going to be pretty rough because this is the last grounds that they've got to churn. So I really encourage people to make sure that whatever they've got together, they've got things safe for themselves and their family, and they're prepared. But also, this is the time to make that extra effort and don't leave all that money in the bank. Use that money to do some fighting. Get those DVDs. Get those books. Get yourself engaged. It's not lost at all because, again, they're hanging on lies. It might not be a friendly situation, but we really don't know how it's going to come out.
Well, one of the things that people need to be kind of aware of, anyways, is because they're trying to do this worldwide, and so they've really taken on a big animal, and even though, you know, they do it compartmentally and that sort. It's still something I don't think has ever been done, and not at the scale that they're trying to do it. So we have that advantage, possibly, and the fact that with the Internet, I think people around the world they're awake. I think they're just waiting for us to make our move.
And how would we actually prepare for this? This late date?
Well, you know,
take your money out of the bank. Don't deal with banks.
Right. Well, it's pretty clear that they're, all of their designs show that they want to destroy the dollar, and we've predicted that for 30 years. You can look at the European Union. Because people were so beat up after the Second World War, they spent most of their time just trying to reclaim their cities and their streets and to get things moving again. So they really, they were looking at a beneficial dictatorship being strung over them, like Gulliver and Gulliver's Travels, with all these little webs crisscrossing back and forth. Nobody scrambled or got mad enough to pull out of that situation. But here we have a little more history of it, but they've really, been working full-time on our kids and through these government organizations under the guise of the environment. After 1989, when the so-called end of the Russian Federation or the Soviet Union was supposed to have ended, the only thing they did was they went from a harder kill in order to, I think most of the war with the communists, and you'll find this in Sutton's terrific book, America's Secret Establishment. He also did several before that, Wall Street and the Rise of Bolshevism and Wall Street and Hitler. And those people that were involved in creating the Bolshevik Revolution and in promoting Hitler, that he had written about in his earlier books, ended up as members of the Skull and Bones organization. I shouldn't say ended up as, because they were inducted into Skull and Bones very early on, but it was we ourselves that got the information years later, and found out that these key people that were building up the enemy and using the American troops as a weapon and to kill our own people against the generated enemy were members of Skull and Bones. You look at the head of World War I, which was Henry Stimson, Secretary of War. He was Skull and Bones. And he was made Secretary of War during the Second World War also. So, and you look at McGeorge Bundy, right inside the CIA there with Kennedy. And, of course, he's wrapped in very tightly with the Kennedy assassination. You look at when Ronald Reagan went in there. Ronald Reagan was, for 13 years, on the letterhead of the United World Federalist. he had always been, he used to be known as Red Ronnie down in Southern California.
I have to, when I was looking at some of those names, and that's really important. We really do need to be digging into the backgrounds of these people, because some of them have backgrounds that are just phenomenal and would never pass scrutiny if they were trying to get a mundane job. Yet, you know, it's pretty obvious that they're being picked for their corrupt backgrounds and just move on up the ladder.
Well, Ronald Reagan, you know, I mean, he'd give me chills when he talked about the American system and this and that. I mean, he could really, really sell it. There's an excellent article or speech that he wrote called "A Time for Choosing." I'm sure it's on the internet, and we were giving him a second chance and thought, well, maybe he really believes this. This is when he was running for governor, as soon as he became governor, he appointed all the Rockefeller people in. He started passing bills on the Mumford Act, the gun laws. He's putting in regionalization by executive order. He appointed Caspar Weinberger, who was out of Bechtel, which is a CIA front there with Schultz from the Council on Foreign Relations. George Pratt Schultz, named the Pratt is the name of the Council on Foreign Relations building, was given to him by the oil people from the Pratt family.
Now, that's not that's no relation to Larry Pratt, is it?
No.
Okay, all right. But George Shultz is still very active. I mean, when you look back at his background, whoa.
Oh, very, very much. He's key. In fact, he was the guy, Reagan put him in as Secretary of State. In fact, they chose Reagan. Reagan was reconstituted. See, first he was part of a committee for Democratic Far Eastern Policy. He was on that with Philip Connolly. Philip Connolly's wife was Dorothy Healey, the chairman of the Communist Party in Los Angeles. And then Kerry McWilliams. He had 25 Communist Fronts organization citations. He was the editor of The Nation. Edward Dmytryk, another one of the Hollywood Ten. I think I mentioned Bessie before. But these are the guys that Reagan, you know, palled with. Now, the Committee for a Democratic Far Eastern Policy was the one that helped Zhou Enlai or Mao Zedong win over the nationalist China.
Chou Enlai? What was his position in China, Zhou Enlai?
He was one of the military figures in the under Mao.
Okay, all right.
Also, the People's World in 1946, they mentioned that Ronald Reagan was in a new series of 13 weekly broadcasts, and it's entitled "It's Happening Here." It was sponsored by the Mobilization for Democracy. And the guide to subversive organizations said that one of the largest and certainly the most potent front organizations created by the California Communists since 1945. It's one of the key communist fronts in California. So anyway, and then he was also associated with a Hollywood writers mobilization. Anyway, it just goes on and on. He was finally picked up. I think they started grooming him as a candidate when he worked for General Electric. And I think General Electric, if anybody studies the Bolshevik Revolution, the Hitler ascendancy, you look at GE today, how active they are owning TV channels and involved in building an international world order. They're part of it, but they groomed him for the presidency. And when they got, and when he was nominated president in 1980, he picked Skull and Bones, George Bush, right underneath him. And that's where the real power came from. Reagan was pretty much a front like Obama was. In fact, Reagan, like Obama, you know, kept the same guy from the Federal Reserve, which was, you know, Carter had Paul Volcker, Reagan kept Paul Volcker, but you could go right down the list. Reagan promised to, balance the budget, and it was the largest increase in the budget ever. It increased aid and trade to the Soviet Union. It threatened the Philippines. They knocked Marcos off over there.
Well, you know what becomes apparent to me when you start looking back through these various administrations is a lot of the people, even going back even into almost the Kennedy era, are still involved in government, and it's kind of like these guys play musical chairs with the jobs. And so when one group comes in and the other steps aside, and then when the other group's done, then they're just kind of trading places and playing this false left-right paradigm.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's why Sutton's book is so good. It probably should be rewritten because it's almost 20, 25, 30 years ago. That's America's Secret Establishment. Again, it's a free download. But he goes into the Hegelian aspect, the left and the right, and he goes into setting up these provocateur incidents, these terror incidences, as a matter of fact, and he shows the connections with the CIA. It's really a super valuable book.
Yeah, because it seems like Cheney and Rumsfeld go way back.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you hook them right into the Council on Foreign Relations, and they were out there with Saddam providing him weapons at that particular time.
So ultimately, what is their focus on the Muslims? I mean, they're just fixated on demonizing them.
Well, my guess is that's the Third World War. I think that all those troops moving into Afghanistan. All a person needs to do is look at the map, and there we are. You know, with Iran in the middle, my guess is that's where we're going to move. It seems like virtually human events, Heritage Foundation, Town Hall, all these so-called conservative outfits are peppered with members of the Council on Foreign Relations. There's all the revolutions that occurred around the Soviet Union, our attack using so-called NATO planes, which were U.S. planes and American pilots with decals over them, going in there to destroy the nation-state of Yugoslavia, was one of those so-called color revolutions. And these were provided again under Reagan. In 1983, he set up a called International Republican Institute. There was one for the Democrats. And what it is, it's a revolving door together with the National Endowment for Democracy. A couple of these names, for instance, Norm Coleman, the former senator that just lost his race up there in Minnesota. He's part of the Ripon Society also. Ripon Society is valuable for people to look up. It's Republicans that are Rockefeller Republicans, and includes people like Orrin Hatch and the two ladies from Maryland, both Council on Foreign Relations members. Again, it's these color revolutions, the Orange Revolution, the one they're trying to generate in Iran right now. But this National Endowment for International Democracy also includes William Frist, Francis Yukiyama, who's trilateralist, Lee Hamilton, who was head of the 9/11 Commission, Morton Abramowitz, and he's also a chairman of the 20th Century Fund. The 20th Century Fund was founded by Pierre Jay. He's skull and bones. He was the first head of the New York Federal Reserve, and a guy by the name of Ed Fellini, who was a department store magnate. But anyway, the 20th Century Fund has been active as a foundation since way back in 1919. And they interlock with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, which Alger Hiss was involved with. But this Morton guy, it's both in the National Endowment for Democracy, was also part of the Balkan Action Committee. And you look at the Balkan Action Committee, and they took out an ad in 1999 to put NATO ground forces in Yugoslavia. This is where this is tax funded, by the way. The International Republican Institute and the National Endowment for Democracy. Again, it's Woodrow Wilson and the abusive use of the word democracy. But anyway, under a committee they set up called the Balkan Action Committee, They wanted ground forces there, and of course we know the war went on there, but some of the other people involved in that was Zbigniew Brzezinski, the founder of the Trilateral Commission, Richard Burke, CFR.
And by the way, he and his is it his children were very much involved in working both sides of this last election, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Gene Kirkpatrick. Now, you know, this is the other thing in this Republican so-called International Republican Institute includes people like Paul Bremer, who is in charge of the controls over Iraq when we were in there, who's also part of Kissinger and Associates, Brent Scrowcroft, who's part of Kissinger and Associates, Chuck Hagel, who's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he chairs an outfit called the Atlantic Council. And the Atlantic Council includes Susan Rice, who Obama has just appointed to be ambassador to the United Nations, and James L. Jones, who's now a national security advisor to Obama. But this is a pool of people out of the International Republican Institute, by the way, in which both sides draw from. It doesn't make a rat's difference, whether they're Republican or Democrat. They just pull from the Council on Foreign Relations, and that's who plays the game. There are two names in here, for instance. One is this ties into the Heritage Foundation that portends itself as conservative. And on this, under Heritage, one of the directors is Midge Dechter. If you look on the letterhead for the League for Industrial Democracy, Midge Dechter is one of the board of directors, as was Gene Kirkpatrick, who Reagan appointed to be head of the United Nations. Gene Kirkpatrick, husband, belonged to the OSS and was in charge of psychological warfare, which they've done a very good job with. Also, Michael Novak is a member of the League for Industrial Democracy. I'm looking at one of their letterheads here. This is 1986, and I'm looking at the board of directors. And inside there, they're talking how wonderful the League was, founded by Jack London and Sinclair in 1905, and that the Tom Hayden's group is one of their, using the principles of industrial democracy, and they're supporting Tom Hayden. And, of course, Tom Hayden was going around to Prague and Vietnam and all those other type places. But here it is, Ronald Reagan appoints as to Secretary of the United Nations Gene Kirkpatrick.
Okay, now, when you were stating the date of 1905, this is a major period in when they really organized to start what's taking place now. Not that it started then, but that was a major organization period, correct?
Oh, absolutely, because at that time you had Sidney and Patrice Webb from the British Fabian Society. They were working with the huge funds from Cecil Rhodes, which funded a lot of their skullduggery. And
wasn't Clinton a Rhodes scholar?
Sidney Webb came to the United States to meet with Daniel Coit Gilman, who was the incorporator of the Skull and Bones, called the Russell Trust. So there was a meeting between the Atlantic, this Atlantic Council kind of is a cover for one of them. Well, one of these fronts. They got a bunch of fronts around that they just kind of move people around in order to keep the conduit open.
Now,
but it's all towards this world government and Cecil Rhodes' secret will for, one world government.
Now, wasn't Russell's, did they get their money through shipping?
Yeah, that was drug trade, I think, into China.
Okay,
and
now,
the drugs has never been not part of their funds. As we know, in South Vietnam, the Golden Triangle, when Lieutenant Colonel Bull Greitz came back out and had hot tape on the man that was the warlord that was in charge of the area. He didn't want to do drugs anymore. On the tape, he said, he didn't want to do it, but. And the same thing with Afghanistan. I mean, when the Taliban were there, the drugs came to a screaming halt. Now we've got our troops dying there in order to protect the poppy fields for the CIA.
Well, where I was making the tie-in with the Russell Group and shipping, and then your Skull and Bones kind of fits right into that as being, and it makes me wonder if there was a little more pirating going on there.
Yeah, well, William Russell and Alfonso Taft were the two founders of Skull and Bones. So you hit it right on the head. And one or both of them were studied in Germany and under people that were identified as the Illuminati in proofs of a conspiracy by Paul Robeson, who had written the book. I think there was Abbe Boel, I think a Frenchman, and then an Englishman, both wrote exposés way back, you know, in the 1700s about the Illuminati. And anyway, it's...
In other words, I guess what we're kind of showing is that we've got an international cartel, corruption, whatever, and then you wonder, you know, when they come in and take, you know, do the biggest bank heist in history and take off with, you know, every means possible to deflate our, you know, currency and take off with it in no uncertain means, and then get us to bail them out, and I don't know what their next trip is here on paying them back. And that's a new one on me.
Well, I think we can look at what they've done with all their other communist takeovers, and this is no different than any of the other ones. You're going to be looking at the killing. I mean, they've been doing so much deliberate deindustrialization. They haven't built a power plant in 30 years. They haven't built an oil refinery in 30 years. They really plan on exterminating 80% of the people, and they've certainly been setting it up. Every move to nationalize local police forces, to reduce the food producing ability by even the smallest of farmers. The fact that you got 1 million people in India, I think, in the last 18 months that have committed suicide on the small farms. You've got right down the center of California, they're preventing the water from going down there for some silly toad or frog or lizard or something. They're deliberately doing rural cleansing in order to prevent people from surviving, because they know during World War II that people got up into the hills into Yugoslavia and the Balkans and other places and were able to, you know, last it out. But they're ahead of the game this time, and together with Monsanto and the killer seeds and the compromising of health in every way with the shots and with the chemtrails and with the fluoride and with and the most obvious of all, which all of us should be ashamed of ourselves for not having drawn the line earlier, is what they've done to our children in the schools.
Right.
We've, you know, for us to let them do that and not keep our kids home and homeschool them is something I'll never forgive myself for.
Well, they kind of kept us busy for so many years trying to make a living, and now that the jobs are going to be scarce, and now the public's getting time to start to wake up, which could play against them in a sense. But then, you know, it's not like these guys haven't been down this road before. They've got a pretty good slate there to keep doing the same things over and over again.
Absolutely. Pat Buchanan has a terrific article, the latest one, on the fact that they're still bringing in 125,000 illegals a month, and we're still permitting it. We don't get mad long enough, and part of it is because of these counterfeit conservative leaders. You know, you get a Michael Savage out there that gets real hot and talking about how bad Bush is, and then at the last minute he endorses him, and then he complains, he brags that he's such an independent, and why doesn't anybody give him a candidate he can vote for? Well, the problem is, if you wait for the parties to select your candidate, that's the problem we've had for the last, you know, 60, 70 years. You have to participate in the primaries in order to have a choice, otherwise you're going to get, you know, what they give you. And
well, they've made these elections so expensive that I don't care who you are, it's pretty much run by the guys with the money, and I don't see how they give us false choices when they do come in. I mean, they had a pretty good backing behind Ron Paul, and you know, they choked him off and put in the people they wanted.
But that's been a fairly new experience for the good guys. They really haven't been out there and in the trenches because, you know, people have been beat up. It takes a while.
Right.
You know, Otherwise, we're not going to win. People are going to have to take some bruises, and they're not going to win the first couple of times. They've got to engage in the institutions and churches and stuff around you. You can't just totally fold and put the umbrella over your head. I kind of like what Ed Griffin, suggests with his Freedom Force, although I've met one or two people in this area. I don't know how many people are aware, or if it's how active or whatever they're doing out there, but the concept's a good idea.
Right, and I've kind of followed that somewhat, and ultimately it's not about the organizing on a large scale, but organizing in smaller groups on multiple scales, so that they don't have it's a little more tricky for them to go in and
That's really true. That's absolutely true. And I've seen a couple of disasters where people work a long time to build something up, and they purchased property and got some newsletters going and did this and that, and they wanted to make a big bigger tent, and they brought somebody in that was a moderate, kind of going along with things, and then bang.
And it's really hard to protect.
They ended up winning in court, but there was nothing left to win by the time 6 years was up. So a lot of times, four or five people getting together, making a plan to do this, do that, run for this. Start with your local central committees and your council districts, and be talking to those people under there, because they. And any time I see a police officer or anybody in uniform, anybody with a gun, I'll get a couple of DVDs too. I'll make a real effort to make sure that they get that in hand. But again, it's so so cheap. You can find somebody with a computer that can make some copies for you. We should all be just casually getting about three of those out a day, just around town or wherever you're going. So the most it would cost somebody is $1.50 a day, and for your freedom and expanding the knowledge for a couple bucks is something. And there's some people out there that could probably write a couple of checks for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. After all, this is there won't be any alternative, or your money might not mean a darn thing in 18 months. So,
well, it sounds to me like they're making their move much sooner than that.
It could be tomorrow. I think they're not sure, because people are waking up to this.
Right, and I mean, I've never seen such tightening of belts and that sort of thing, and I don't think they're anywhere close to how many are out of work in some of the numbers that they're giving us. But I mean, particularly in certain areas of the country where they've moved, total industries out.
How are you doing in your little county there?
this has always been a place. It's been a struggle, I think. But we got used to the new economy when I first moved here over 30 years ago. If you didn't have three jobs, you weren't normal. So if you have two now, or even one, you're probably doing good at this point. So there's not a lot of jobs out there. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And I know that the businessmen are having a tough time. So one thing that, we're kind of a bedroom community to, a fairly large military situation, but I don't know if that affects us or not, how much it does. So.
And I live in an area where it's almost all military.
Yeah, she's right under.
I would think that there's a number of DVDs out there that would be probably pretty powerful. And the 911, since that's still invoked by Obama even last week as a reason to go into, to escalate the war, that the information around 9/11, if people understand that, and it's... There's very few people that believe the government's story anymore, but when they get the facts, that really reinforces it. And some of those, I think Anthony Hilder's got one out there, and so does Alex Jones, that will make the picture a little bit broader. There's an excellent one, too. I can't think of the producer of it. Did a series on Mohammed Atta down in Florida, and he went into the airport and interviewed the people that trained him and interviewed the restaurant people that gave him food and so forth. And the profile the government gave you compared to what this independent reporter did is just, comparison. And it makes, if people can understand that they have to think for themselves, that it's you can't believe the government's theory because that just puts you in a box. But
one of the things that I've found that is just about any information out there, I don't care which side of the aisle it comes from, we need to be doing research on it and also know that we have to, they lied back in the days when some of this other stuff was written, so you still have to go through information and keep following and looking for the truth in it and realizing that everybody that writes something has an agenda, and it doesn't matter what period of history.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of the best books out there, I think maybe you've interviewed him. I saw a list of some of your guests, and I believe you had Robert Galen Ross.
No.
He put together a book called Who's Who of the Elite, and it's a fine-tooth comb with the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, and Trilateral Commission, and it's reset both alphabetically and by banks and by media and by oil companies and by schools, and it works back and forth. So it's just an absolutely invaluable tool that you could run circles around. You could hold off three or four political science professors and a few news reporters without any problem at all, just with that book in your lap.
Now, I haven't had him, but he sounds like somebody I'm going to look up.
Yeah, me too.
The other excellent, excellent book, and it's old. It's way back 1960, and this was a guy, his name is Dan Smoot, and he wrote the book called The Invisible Government, and that was on the Council on Foreign Relations. But he also covered the Advertising Council. He covered the foundations. He covered the Atlantic Union, all the various resolutions that Nixon and Humphrey were pushing towards world government. Just a fantastic thing. And if you can find that on Amazon someplace, try to get a hard copy, because it's today it's still incredibly valuable.
Okay, let me go ahead and say you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KAHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado. We're community-supported radio, and we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And there'll be you want to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And our guest this evening is Gary Richard Arnold, and my co-host is Katie O'Brien. Okay, let's go back to...
You're talking about trying to get the people active. I'm looking right now at an article, and it has to do with a man by the name of Charles E. Merriam. And he was a co-founder of that 1313 syndicate that I mentioned that Rockefeller put together, that put together the international city managers and the justice organizations, et cetera, et cetera. But... this is one of Merriam's quote, and it'll tell you exactly where these guys are coming from and why it's operated, why 1313 East 60th Street in Chicago, Rockefeller's University of Chicago. Anyway, this is what he said. He said, in Russia and Italy, for example, under Soviet and fascist rule, a different type of loyalty must be generated, and this necessity has been the mother of many new and interesting innovations. The red flag, the international, are symbols of great specific value in enlivening the general theory of the social order. There is an abundant opportunity for the cultivation of a vastly improved breed of the human race, far transcending the present type. Control is likely possible in the future, point where it may be possible to breed whatever type of human being is desired. Then we could breed morons and heavy-handed half-wits if you wanted them. We might even breed strange creatures that beast of burden and toil and dominated by more spirited beings, privileged public officials, designed for higher walks of life. The essence of organization is not roughness, as many seem to think, but management. Men may be influenced in other ways than pressure on the back or the buttocks with a strap. The human system may be reconditioned through the glands, perhaps the bloodstreams, you know, fluoridation, chemtrails, or through any one of a thousand minor manipulations, stimulations, graduations, which move silently and subtly to their appointed end, unquote.
That could be anywhere from, you know, TV to cell phones to you name it. I mean, we're being inundated with different stimulus to that could possibly be in working what you're talking about.
Well, but see, this guy's talking about this during the height of the Soviet Union and Mussolini. This is the guy that is honored by the California League of Cities. They've reprinted some of his books. He's the co-founder of Rockefeller's political system that controls the city managers and all these little clerks that have no idea. They get these little newsletters coming out that tells them to, you know, do nice ecological things all the time. They're moving, they're, again, like Gulliver's Travels, they're putting more and more ropes around us. And anyway, it's...
And what's the time period, again, what years you're saying?
This was from, well, he's talking in the present tense in this quote here, and he says in Russia and Italy, for example, under the Soviet and fascist rule. So anyway, he's praising it.
Uh-huh.
So that had to be probably the 30s.
Okay, right. So that, yeah, no, they were moving. I kind of get the feeling that what's going on now was kind of tried out in the first depression, or the first major depression, the Great Depression, or whatever you want to call it, and they found out what they needed to, what holes to plug for this one.
Their two failures early on was the League of Nations. They didn't get the Senate to vote the League of Nations, so that's why they had to really hype up the Council on Foreign Relations and get a lot of those other institutions working.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Second World War, they pre-planned it. I mean, they had all the plans already, you know, they were calling each other the United Nations in 42 and 43. In fact, the man that Richard Nixon defeated in Southern California was a man that did an expose on the multinationals during the early part of the Second World War. He had written back to his constituents and so forth, talking about that we were already dealing with Germany on post-war cartelization of Europe. And that book is called Beyond Victory. Surprisingly, I was able to pick it up last year on Amazon. Somebody had it. But he attacked the Bank of International Settlements. We're talking 1942, 43. And it was Prescott Bush, and there's a picture of him, Prescott Bush selecting Nixon. He goes down to Orange County, and he's tipping his Nixon's hat. It's a great picture. I'll send it to you if you don't have it. They can find it on my the muckraker.net under All in the Family, I believe it's called, articles, and then All in the Family. But here you have Prescott Bush selecting Richard Nixon to run for Congress. And you'll also find a document in there when Nixon was ahead in 1948 of one of the committees. He's excusing a man by the name of Rubenstein from showing up. But Rubenstein is Jack Ruby, the guy that killed Lee Harvey Oswald. But that's 48, so you got the assassination like 11 years later. So there's connections, connections there.
Are you familiar with Alex Constantine?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with Alex Constantine and his journalism?
No, the name sounds familiar. I believe I've read some stuff, but it doesn't come to mind.
Well, I had done an interview with him, and one of the things that he brought up, that because we were talking a little bit about the McCarthy era and whatever, and when he started bringing up some background on McCarthy, that, you know, I mean, when I talked to, like, Charlotte Isherbay and whatever, she was making it look like, evidence to show that McCarthy really was bringing out the fact that there was a lot of communists there. So he really got a bad rap, but at the same time, it was looking like there was that Hegelian dialectic taking place there, that there was still a lot of fascists in the system at that point in time. So it was kind of like, you know, trying to show up and watch a war between, you know, the Italian mafia and the Jewish mafia. I don't know. It gets, you know, when you're starting to pick out the difference between fascism and communism, which is better?
Well, they're the same thing. I mean, right. Hitler recruited the fascists, and the fascists recruited the communists. It's there's an excellent. It's only 30 minutes, and everybody should have it for their kids. And it was something put out by the Birch Society about a year or two ago, and it's called Overview of America, and it gets right into republic and democracy and the difference between, you know, the multinationals, you know, type of economy versus free enterprise. And the bogus NAFTA and so forth, and they do a real excellent job on it. It's you know, it sure clears up a whole lot of mystery, and it allows people to talk using the right terms, and it puts a burden on those people that deliberately use democracy all the time when, you know, you and I know it's not. But as far as Joe McCarthy, I think you have to go back to those times, and you're looking at how fast things were moving, and when he saw, you know, the Alger Hisses and the, you think of all the things that happened after World War II, or even the beginning of World War II. It was the Soviets and the Nazis that invaded Poland. And then afterwards, we did everything in our government gave the advantage to the communists, whether it was getting into Berlin first or the Operation Keel Haul, which they killed all those Polish soldiers, allowing them, you know, all of the countries that they took over, more than Hitler ever would have had if Hitler had kept going. But they ended up with all of this control. And then when they were building the United Nations, I mean, every advantage. You had Alger Hiss, the first acting Secretary General, and it looked like it was communist Moscow, but we can't win. And you said it earlier in different words. Communism, you know, is not from Moscow or Peking or Cuba. Moscow, you know, communism emanates from New York City. Communism is not the people trying to overthrow the banking establishment. Communism is the banking establishment enslaving the people. Communism is merely a tool of the banking establishment.
And they just and apparently, I mean, because you also, you know, you had Project.
Trouble hearing you.
Okay, you also had Project Paperclip, which
I don't know if.
I wonder what's going on there.
Are you able to hear me, Gary?
Barely. Let me hit the voice thing on this.
Okay.
Okay, that helped.
Okay. All right. Good.
Some of my background here.
So you ultimately you had Project Paperclip, which brought all the Nazi scientists and that sort over here. So it's kind of like they went in and one group took one group under their wing, and another group took another group under their wing, and then they'll turn them loose and have them go at it down the road so that they can create their chaos. Does that make sense? Or do you follow me?
Yeah, well, they use both sides. They
yes.
had no fear. You look at Union Bank, you know, that supplied, Hitler. What's another way to?
Well, wasn't that Prescott Bush's operation?
That was, and Harriman, Averill Harriman was the godfather of the Democratic Party, and you got the Bushes, you know, the godfather of the Republican Party. It's bipartisan treason working out of the same banking office. It's like Goldman Sachs. You know, Chelsea's going to marry somebody from Goldman Sachs. Everything's Goldman Sachs. We've been robbed in front of our eyes of over $20 trillion, and people are still, scratching their head. And it's coming down. I mean, they've literally taken everything, and they're setting up the bars around us. And they told us what we're going to do. They keep let the borders open, and they continue to tax and continue to send industries offshore. But, you know, I mean, this is so obvious. This is when the smart Jews would have been leaving Germany.
I'm waiting for the car to when Hank Paulson, who's been on the board of governors of the Nature Conservancy, and where that is going to play in the end after this, because that card really hasn't been played yet as far as I'm concerned. And I think that they're going to, that money that they pulled out overseas is going to come back in here. And all this land that's been put under Nature Conservancy is going to be up for grabs.
That was just a way to trap, to get the taxpayers to, you know, force the taxpayers to purchase the so-called land for the future, whatever it is. And this is, you know, this again you'll find in a equation that Sutton puts in his America's Secret Establishment under the Morale Education Act or something like that. And it was an early trick of theirs in order to get the government and the taxpayers to buy them property. And they've always looked on the western states especially. You'd see how much of each state still belongs to the federal government, which it really shouldn't at all, that they use as they don't want to let go. They want all the control still in New York City or the Eastern Establishment. Now, you talked a little bit earlier in the 30s when all this stuff was going on. They did try a coup, and that's actually stated in Ed Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island, and that's when Smedley Butler, a United States general of the Marines, was asked to take over a 400,000 fascist army inside the United States, and he was dealing with some of these people that are like the Mellons, which Richard Schaaf and some of these other people close to Heritage and Town Hall and some of these people that are usually favored by the so-called conservative talk show host as the good guys. Well, these guys have, you know, they're up to their neck in this stuff as much as anybody. But that's the advantage now with the information that we have. And I'm seeing that the left-right thing, at least in our neighborhood, there's still fractious arguments from time to time, but they're working more and more together. We're trying to keep a little bit of patience, and we're working on similar things, whether it's fluoridation, even due process on appeals boards and things like that. We've got the people that are attending our movies. They really are a mix. This county's probably 2 or 3 to 1 Democrat, and then declined a state, and maybe 15 or 20% Republican, and a handful of Ron Paulers that kind of straddle the Libertarian group. But it's the information going back and forth that's really upsetting the local powers that be, because they used to have be able to control their own corner, whether they're the Republicans or the Democrats.
Now, the ultimate thing, if you take this, I mean, because you're kind of like me, it sounds like, where you're looking at the overall picture and where this is going, what it all means. What is the ultimate reason why we need to stand up and do something about it, what's going on?
Well, number one, we still have the freedom to.
Okay.
And, you know, if you read some of the horrible history, that Black Book of Communism that was produced in France and reproduced here shows all of those countries what happened to them and the terrible things. You read Solzhenitsyn and how awful things can be real fast. Right now, we still have freedom to move and freedom to make and spend money or to coax other people to do things that we can't do ourselves. Just the fairness. I mean, that's mm-hmm. kind of what I feel I'm supposed to do. I was brought up to, you know, fight for right, etc. I don't think a person can avoid consequences. People can do low or high profile or whatever, but when you look at the ravages of war when they happen, and the hundreds of thousands of troops that, you know, go over the, you know, wipe over the plains or crash through the cities, there's not too much place you're going to find refuge. And they've really worked for to ensure that there's been rural cleansing. They've got devices. Heck, they've had where this is kind of a forested area over here in Santa Cruz, and for 20 years they've been able to find people that wander off the highway just with a helicopter and a heat sensor. So if you think you're going to hide out there and act like a, you know, put a deer coat over you, I don't think that's going to work. So I think they need to be faced, nobody has to do anything rash. The educational aspect needs to be done, but you need to protect yourself for, you know, for food, for, you know, self-defense, for communications, and still look for a way to be employed as gainfully as you can. Try not to be dependent on foreign items.
I guess you were getting around to it in a sense, because isn't it kind of historical when some of these, any empire or anybody takes over another country to kind of cleanse it of its citizens? And so when you're doing it on a worldwide basis, these guys want to really cut back. And now that you're saying, even in an earlier remark about the fact that they may have a way to make the kind of human that they want, and that we may not fit that bill.
Right. Well, in fact, you know, those people that are participating in their evil, all I have to do is look at Hitler's or Stalin's purges with his military and his the own people that were in his revolution. Heck, Trotsky died with an ice pick in his skull down in Mexico City. He was right up there with the original founders, and you look at Hitler with the Night of the Long Knives, in which they use the homosexual community to gain power, pretty much like in California. California is pretty thick with their presence, and the Republican head of the California Republican delegation is David Dreyer, and he lives with his chief of staff and their lovers. Arnold Schwarzenegger and his wife both have, one has a homosexual chief of staff and the other has a lesbian chief of staff. In fact, they took the people that were serving Gray Davis, the Democratic governor, and merely adopted them, took them over as their office staff. So, and of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in tight with Lord Rothschild and Buffett. And of course, Buffett has given all of his money to Bill Gates Foundation. And in this area, like I said, they bought up the three papers here, and they're run under media something. I should probably look at the computer this time. Dean Singleton there in Colorado. But they're having a hard time keeping their, I think things are coming down still. I don't have any evidence of hope yet there. So the most important thing is to get that information out to as many people as a person possibly can. And the stuff is available, and we can duplicate it so cheap and quick.
Well, and what you pointed out is something that's it's a really major tactic that they do use, is they like to pick marginal groups or issues and make them big and play them up to make them much bigger, and then play them off each other against the groups. And until we start, you know, waking up and realizing that this is a ploy on their part, and that, yeah, they can be polarizing things, but they're issues that we're not going to settle politically.
Well, we find that almost every event around here is an opportunity. It's real hard for us to get a group together and sustain it, but if we've got a peace group down in Monterey, for instance, it's meeting this next week, and they're pretty upset with the Afghanistan moves, and they were main supporters behind Obama. The Obama Nation DVD, together with that CFR one by on the Council on Foreign Relations, which is terrific, by Gonzalo Savando, or can't think of his, I'm terrible with names, is terrific. But that, you know, that one DVD in itself is a powerful education.
What's the name of that DVD?
I should know that because it's one of my favorite DVDs, and he's got one coming out on Cuba pretty soon too. Oh, I got it. Here we go. Treason in America, the Council on Foreign Relations, Servando Gonzalez.
Okay.
And it is absolutely terrific. It's really powerful. And it goes from the very beginning of the history of the Council on Foreign Relations, takes you right into the North American Union. So, and it's, the content is terrific. I mean, it really builds. For some people, it might be too much. There's another more casual one. I think it's called Rick and Dick. Let's see. I kind of retitled it a little bit. It says, Facts Prohibited by Americans Media, Exposed by Rick and Dick. I'll make sure that you get the correct titles so that you'll know what wonderful tools these are. And so it's a casual thing with, you know, a couple guys going back and forth, which is an easier way to take some information depending on one's disposition.
So you've been
asking. There's this wonderful material out there. And like you say, the more of the Tiger Woods or whatever scandal, if they can consume time, their whole thing is to burn up your time on anything but the conclusion of their tyranny. I mean, they're working so fast at it, any distraction is good for them. They, you know, anything but the facts.
Well, speaking of distraction, tell us a bit how we're being manipulated in regard to flu shots.
Well,
this whole H1N1 and this flu and that flu.
Well, the only investigation I've done on that, although, you know, I've seen it, the same procedure going on for decades in the fluoridation. Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins is a terrific book. Somebody needs to volunteer for him and do an index for him.
I think that one's on the internet, too. I think that one is available.
Oh, is that one on the internet?
I think so.
Oh, that's a wonderful book. And that shows, that will give it to you from the turn of the century. And if you understand that, you don't, you know, you'll know what's going on. You won't have to analyze everything once you get their pattern, you know, their pattern of what they're doing.
I wish I could download these books.
Flu shot. Yeah, my investigation was when I first heard about the ferrets being killed off, I guess, in Czechoslovakia from the Baxter portion early this year, back in March or February, something like that. And if that had gotten out, they were talking like something 70 million people would have been very ill. I looked up Baxter International, the producer of it, and found out that it was owned for years or decades by a man by the name of Lox. I think it's L-O-U-C-K or U-K-S. And it turns out the guy's member of Skull and Bones.
Somewhere I thought I heard Obama had stock in it.
That I don't know. Obama worked for Business International when he first got out of Harvard, and that's CIA conduit. That's just Wikipedia common knowledge type information on that. But
so in other words, all you need to do is just start taking names, and you can just start seeing a whole story told by what these guys' backgrounds are. And where that goes, and then that uncovers some of the organizations. One of the names I haven't heard you bring up is Maurice Strong. Where are you on his background?
Oh yeah. Well, again, you can, the quick reference for people if they've got Creature from Jekyll Island. I don't know if you sell any books out of your
No, I haven't.
Your station or anything, but if they get a hold of that book, it's got that attempted fascist overthrow by the Marine General in which. He went straight. He brought it to the House Committee on Un-American Activities, and they verified it, and everything was covered up. I think that's also mentioned in Sutton's America's Secret Establishment. I think he gives it a page or two.
Well, don't you get the feeling that a lot of these congressional meetings and whatever is like a gatekeeping group? Because, I mean, a lot of this stuff dies there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, exactly. In fact, well, you look at who's ahead of these groups. It's like Lee Hamilton or Thomas Keene. They're all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Project for a New American Century is key for people that are concerned, they should be concerned about these wars that have been going on for 20 years. From, you know, our first Desert Storm. That's outrageous. I mean, these are going on longer than Vietnam.
Well,
and people, we should have people across the political spectrum with us on that. You know, just if Senate or if the country's going to go to war, require a declaration of war and do it constitutionally. You don't do it this way because you're killing the boys and you can't prosecute traitors for treason.
Well, don't you get?
I just ran across this guys by the name of Vernon Locks. Mm-hmm. The head of Baxter, Vernon R. Locks, and he was also a director of the Kellogg Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go here, because the first eugenics congress was in 1912, and it was supported by Dr. J. Harvey Kellogg. So this is a guy who's a member of Skull and Bones that's always involved, you know, they're in charge of Secretary of War, World War One, World War Two. Everywhere they go, there's death and disease, and these are the guys. This is a guy that, you know, sent over the loaded shots that would have killed all these people. Now, you got to remember, Prescott Bush was Skull and Bones. He was the treasurer of the Eugenics Society, working with Margaret Sanger and Hitler's emissaries.
Well, Gates, even Bill Gates, is the son of Robert Gates, which is tied in with Planned Parenthood, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, absolutely. You go to their website, and they brag about, you know, all their vaccinations in Africa. And, you know, the stuff is sold as a cure, but it's really a killer.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell whether some of them are killers or some of them are sterilization or both.
Well, I think if they sterilize you, they figure they, you know, it's just they just wait you out. And you'll end up with complications of one sort or another. And, you know, you got your Prince Philip, you know, wishing he'd come back to Earth as a disease. And, you know, that World Wildlife Fund, And the Bilderbergers were both founded by Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, who was a member of the SS, of the Nazi SS. And it's interesting to see when they were giving out all these things at Wall Street that it was Fiat that got a hold of Chrysler. They didn't have to pay a dime for it. But Arcello Tesi, who was the head of Fiat, was a guy who founded the Club of Rome. So, I mean, they're stealing from us local hicks here, and they're distributing this stuff to their conspirators all over the world. And that was that John Coleman that put out that book on the Committee of 300, which is a very valuable book to have.
Now, another thing is that they do is they hit all aspects of our lives, because I've run across a book written in 1914 that was a metaphysical book that got into three world wars and things. They were already putting into I can't remember the name of that society now, that was a metaphysical group, and they were members of that, if I'm not mistaken. And so they were putting it out in every avenue of, like you say, between the medical to the education to philanthropic organizations and religious groups, you name it, they hit it all. So that,
yeah, that's interesting too. Is they invoke really, literally the devil. You look at Skull and Bones, and they use a coffin, they use human remains in their rituals, and they, you know, they replicate basically the Illuminati rituals. You know, and that again is explained in part of Sutton's book. You look at Bohemian Grove up there with the big owl at their headquarters with its talons just sunk right into a skull. And you look at the huge Moloch owl I have there, you know, with pictures with Earl Warren sitting at the bottom of the statue, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Nixon, or Reagan, or, you know, all these guys. And they burn children in effigy as a cremation of care, so they don't really care. I mean, they exercise their will so that they have no conscience, and to expect any fair treatment, anything other than the death and destruction and the shock and the awe that they've provided to countries and peoples all around the world, people don't expect you're going to get a fair shake. You have to do what you can now to get this information out, and you got to persist at it and repeat it and repeat it. There's no second chances. You know, they might blow the whistle tomorrow. You won't be able to buy another blank DVD. You might not be able to send another letter. Get this stuff out. I think we'll win in the long run, but I think it's going to be pretty, you know, the less awful it's going to be, is the harder and the faster we work right now.
Now, what do you know anything about the background of Michael Aquino?
Are you no.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's a whole other aspect that goes on between the scenes of some of the, you know, you're talking about the ritualistic things that take place and some of the nasty underbelly that goes along with some of this, the ceremony and things that these people are involved in as well, correct?
Right. I know there's a, you know, the Luces Society or the Luces Trust, which used to be called the Lucifer Trust, and that's, they were involved in setting up the meditation room at the United Nations, and I know that McNamara and I know a whole bunch of other people are involved in that, and there's a connection with that with Paul Ehrlich and the Futurist Society, which is Gingrich and some of the other folks there. I think it's somebody. Well, you got the Bohemian Grove, you got Skull and Bones. There's three or four other secret societies out of Yale, and there's been four or five others that have been senior year societies built like Skull and Bones. Oh, I'll tell you something that's real valuable, and people should use it if they're, you know, if they want to stay on top of these bad guys. And it's referred to as I'm having trouble with this because it's stated awkwardly, at least to me. I think it's called the 10 Organization Schools. And there are 10 schools in the Eastern establishment, which are like prep schools for those people that will, here it is, the 10 Schools Admission Organization. But if people write that down, I'll say that again. Look up 10 Schools Admission Organization. Now you'll find that most of the conspirators have gone to one of those schools. The sheet I'm looking at right now refers to Cord Meyer. Cord Meyer was the one that founded the United World Federalist. He went to St. Paul's, which is one of the 10 schools. Here's William Howard Taft, the fourth, Skull and Bones. He went to that same school. William Howard Taft has been the point man for the Law of the Sea Treaty.
And explain that one a little bit again for the audience.
The 10 Schools Admission Organization is where you'll find people that have been part and parcel of the conspiracy, you got such as the Bushes, such as Rumsfeld, such as, I wish I had a few more examples for you, but I'll find probably about a 50-50 shot that a conspirator had gone to one of those schools.
So in other words, that these guys are groomed and they have...
Yeah, they're groomed, the very wealthy families, and they're there. Oh, here we go, Operation Monarch. Operation Monarch was an intelligence operation, and this was done by Cord Meyer at the instructions of Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles was one of the incorporators of the Council on Foreign Relations, and also he was the head of the CIA. But Operation Monarch was to make the leading newspapers in the United States as dissemination points to help guide the people's thought processes towards a new world order. So, again, you got Alan Dulles. He was kept on by John F. Kennedy. And after the Bay of Pigs, John F. Kennedy fired him. But he was put on the Earl Warren Commission to help cover up Kennedy's assassination.
Okay, now when you're talking about these 10 schools, that's a totally new one to me. And
it's very valuable. The other one is McKinsey and Company. I'm going to hit 10 schools organization right now and just put it up on the web, and I'll give you what they call it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and I'd not heard of, you know, anybody make reference to this, but you have the, I don't even know how to pronounce that word, Chayate, or Rosemary Hall, Deerfield Academy, the Hill School, the Hotchkiss School, the Lawrenceville School, the Loomis Chaffee.
A couple of Phillips Exeter and some of those.
Yeah, Loomis Chaffee School, Phillips Academy, St. Paul's School, and the Taft School. Yeah, and so are these primarily in the East, or I wonder?
They're basically, you know, in and around Massachusetts. Hearing it open up Phillips Exeter and Wiki and see how quick that comes up. And we'll look at student body or alumni, if I can find it. Also, it says the high school secret societies. Historical endeavors, alumni. Okay, here we go. It's got the alumni. And we'll...
Yeah, they all look like they're kind of like in your New England area.
Yeah, they're pretty close to Skull and Bones. Well, Dan Brown, for instance, who wrote the Da Vinci Code and all that type of stuff, he's certainly, there's one. You've got Peter Orszag, director of U.S. Office of Management and Budget under Barack Obama. You got Ned Lamont. His father was Thomas Lamont, who funded the Communist Party from J.P. Morgan. He went to the Yale School of Management. That's key, Lamont. Thomas Lamont and Thomas Lamont Jr. and Ned Lamont, they funded, you know, the Communist Party. In fact, talking about Communist Party and Ronald Reagan again, Ronald Reagan had a $1,000 plate dinner set for him by Dr. Armin Hammer in Century City.
Yeah, but didn't
if you look in the biography book of Dr. Armin Hammer, he's sitting there next to his desk. He's got a picture of Lenin, Stalin, Brezhnev, and Nancy and Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but didn't also Al Gore's dad, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Al Gore was oil, and they were in partnership with Occidental, and Reagan gave them special privileges, actually in, I think it was Libya, and China, and a few other places, but they, everybody else was kicked out of some of these places, but Armin Hammer got the special nod.
Well, one of the things that it seems to me that's kind of apparent, and I just wonder how many of these people that are involved in the Council on Foreign Relations or other business-type organizations that are being indoctrinated into this system realize that what it looks like to me is they've given concessions to the resources and the businesses around the world, and it's going to the highest bidder. And those that don't pony up aren't going to make it.
Right. Well, I think I just found another year here at Phillips Exeter. Let me give you this bunch. David Rockefeller, Jr., John Negroponte, first director of national intelligence, John J. Rockefeller IV. I mean, we're hitting some pretty heavy-duty stuff, and it's part of the school here, Pierre S. DuPont. So they got Republicans and Democrats, you know, controlling both sides of the Hegelian deal. You'll find this as a source. It's kind of like the Screen Extras Guild, where they get the people to do some job one way or another. Here's Nicholas Katzenbach, the Attorney General I think it was under Kennedy or Johnson at the time. Joseph Coors, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. I mean, we're hitting some. There's pretty big heavyweights here that have to do with intelligence and power. And Skull and Bones. Here's Guilford Pinchot. He was the first forester. I think his cousin was Skull and Bones. Anyway, it goes all the way back to Lincoln and a few other people. But there's a nest of schools in there that are like the breeding grounds for these conspirators.
Yeah, but they call us the conspirators.
Nah, we're the truth talkers.
Yeah, it took me a while to learn how to combat that terminology, because what they do is they accuse you of the very thing that they're doing, and be able to
exactly always. That's really important to know. That should be part of really basic stuff. But.
Being able to identify all the techniques is so important. And then another one that's really important is being able to understand what the words really mean, because what we're getting a lot of is two different languages being addressed, at least two different languages being addressed, sometimes even in your presidential speeches and things of that sort, or when they pass laws and that, and we think that they're talking about one thing and they're talking about another.
Now, what I mentioned, Bechtel, did that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, this is another company you should know about. This is like the Bechtel of today. It's called McKinsey and Company. Now, listen how powerful this thing is. It's got over 8,700 consultants in there. They've got 90 offices in 50 countries around the world.
Is this an engineering firm?
No, it's a. It's not. It's a leading business. It's much broader than that.
Okay.
It says it. Its clients represent 70% of the Fortune magazine's most admired list. Clients include three of the world's five largest corporations and two-thirds of the Fortune 1000. Now, I'd say that's powerful. Bain and Company is tied with that, so you're talking about who's the Mormon guy that just ran from Massachusetts?
I
can't think of his name.
I know what you're talking about, but it just left my mind, too.
Romney.
Okay, right.
So Romney's connected with there. And also, the other guy they tried to start pushing up as a presidential candidate was Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal was one of their, you know, main key guys. But, they, you know, they service Carlisle. You know, this is just a total operation for world government. They picked Tony Blair's cabinet for him. But anyway, McKinsey and Company, you'll find, I'm finding that name more and more. A lot of times when I look at a biography, it doesn't mean anything to me. But I ran into that enough times that I thought, what is this thing? But it's another one of those key deals here.
How do you spell that?
M-C, capital K-I-N-S-E-Y.
Okay.
Incorporated, and then I put Wiki on it because it's easier to get their summary rather than to read through, you know, corporate stuff first.
Uh-huh. Although that's where I like to go, because you find some really good gems in there sometimes.
Yeah, you can find some thing, and I think one of these had the most Rhodes Scholars. Oh, here it is. The firm is notable for the number of Rhodes Scholars it's able to recruit. And then we go back to Cecil Rhodes' secret wills, and bingo, all this stuff ties in. And I think Bobby Jindal is a Rhodes Scholar. So yeah, that all of a sudden it doesn't become so darn hard anymore. It all, you know, it all goes up according to plan. And if you got a handful of people out there and they can strategize a little bit rather than always being the victim of this stuff going on. But I'd really encourage people to get Who's Who of the Elite by Robert Galen Ross Jr. And support your, you know, your radio people and that wonderful one, this guy Servando Gonzalez, Treason in America, the Council on Foreign Relations, just wonderful. We've got the tools that say it all, and we can get them out there cheap, and we just need to do it. We could double our presence if everybody, you know, triple their contacts and. You know, take a chance. You got to take a risk now, or you're going to get whopped anyway.
Well, I when people start understanding that it doesn't matter whether we pick, you know, Republican, Democrat, what religion, you name it, they have gone after every major organization and compromised it in some form or fashion, so that they can bring us all into this position, one way or the other, and. And pull the wool over our eyes, and once we realize that, you know, everything out there is, you know.
Oh, absolutely. The groupthink is a curse. That's where they got a hold of us. And whether it's our religion or the political party we belong to, and most people, you know, when election time comes around, they're all looking at all these endorsements. Well, heck, who got us into all the trouble? Was the newspapers endorsing this guy and your party or your church endorsing that guy? Who thinks out of the box? Everybody's in a darn box and they group think and they expect you. They train us to do our knee-jerk reactions.
And they don't need everybody agreeing or going in there and I mean, because a lot of good, you know, good intentioned people are in everything. And the problem is it only takes just a few to control the whole group.
Absolutely. And the other ones are timid or afraid. Somebody going in there with a plan, just like the old Communist Front organizations. Heck, I've got a thing here, 1944. It's called Appendix 9. And there's got to be a couple thousand pages of all the different communist fronts. And it was just a handful of people that would just retitle themselves and switch off as treasurer of this or doing that. And they'd you know, make their press release and do their ad or do whatever they had to do. But, again, they were usually financed from Wall Street. That's where, you know, Thomas Lamont from J.P. Morgan and so forth were involved. In fact, they were involved in the Bolshevik Revolution.
When you get into this, there's on McKinsey's site, I'm looking at something that they have is who we are, and this is one of their statements, and this is why it's so deceiving. It says, we take pride in doing what is right rather than what is right for the profitability of our firm. Our credibility depends upon it. So, in other words, you know, you really got to be able to dig deeper than, you know, what they're putting out as their press releases.
Right. Well, these people lie. You know, I mean, it's just... and I think Americans are so, you know, they'll look at any statement and try to give a person a fair break, but they just stole $20 trillion from us and we're still walking around like, you know,
they're going to give
isn't
it
that
back.
A shame? how much more can they do? I mean, they're putting poison in the shots, they're poisoning the water, they're dumbing down the kids, they're killing people, killing our sons and daughters in undeclared wars. And we're still being nice to these guys. It's just, it's amazing.
Isn't it amazing? But didn't that go along with the statement about, you know, I don't know who it's attributed to, because I've seen it attributed to Hitler and somebody else and within the Nazi regime about, you know, the bigger the lie. You know, but
yeah.
I mean, it gets to the point where the lie is so big that nobody's willing to stand up and question it. And
it's the audacity. And I think I saw a clip one time that had Reagan talking about audacity, audacity, audacity. And they're just laughing that they get away with it. And they get people, you know, fighting this way and fighting that way. And they look at these poor little greenies, you know, coming up to the microphone or going before the board of supervisors to, you know, save the frog or create a bicycle trail or, you know, protect us from too much carbon dioxide, which is a nutrient.
Well, I was listening to Lord Montfort coming out and acting like he's really being a, you know, a whistleblower on this Copenhagen thing meeting. And I mean, you have to really start looking close when you have somebody, you know, that's Lord Montfort coming out and blowing the whistle on his buddies. I mean, it just, people got to realize there, too, is that it doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, all through, you know, the Soviet, you know, so many tragic things happened in the, you know, Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. I mean, just atrocious what the Stasi did. And, of course, we've got Primakov and the other guy from the Stasi and the KGB that advised Bush on Homeland Security. I mean, we invited, you know, those evil people over to set up Homeland Security to get us. And that didn't, but, you know,
you mean
upset
you're talking
a few
about
people.
Michael Chertoff? Is that who you're talking about?
To advise him on part of that Homeland Security and stuff. But there was people that were head of the of Stasi. I think if you just look up Stasi and KGB and hit Homeland Security, you'll get the advisors that helped set it up. And it was horrible. But what they did, they always set up phony operations. They set up somebody for you to go to because they expect resistance, so they provide somebody to resist them. And so you've got to be you know pretty careful. Recent example, I think, is John Ashcroft, who was, as a senator from Missouri, I think, was seemed like a sterling, you know, patriot of all sorts, and was involved in, you know, patriotic organizations and this and that. And then once he was appointed attorney general, It was a 180-degree reversal, and, you know, he just came down on everybody. But I think he was in one group. What was it? I think Dan Smoot was in that I mentioned earlier, and Larry McDonald from the Burr Society. And, of course, he flew off into gunfire off of on his way to Japan. And
you mean, in other words, he didn't survive.
But then it turned out Ashcroft. I'm looking at Ashcroft and going, what is this? And I go, Yale. You know, there he's a Yale graduate, right? But those guys, they automatically put one side and the other. In fact, in if you read William Buckley's Skull and Bones, William Buckley's autobiography, he talks that he wished he had spent his life as a communist. And he said, I think, I'm thinking of William Bennett right now. I guess William Bennett early on asked William Sloan Coffin, Skull and Bones of Riverside Church, what he should do, and the, you know, the guy told him, you know, what part of the political spectrum to go to. But they don't care what part of the political spectrum. They're just playing this grand game that's a, you know, it's a scam on all the people, and they're just garnering more and more power till their conclusion. But
yeah, in other words, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, ism it is. Ultimately, that isn't. They just hide in disguise behind one of these, and ultimately that's not what they're going for at all. They consider themselves the chosen few, and they're not going to live under the terms that they want the rest of us to live under.
Oh, absolutely not. It's absolutely foolish to think that. It's a war on the middle class, and unfortunately, it's we've had our freedom so long we're a little bit naive, I think. Actually, some of the people from Europe or even some from Mexico, I think, see something bad going on. I know there's locally over here some Cambodians that had fled their country, and, you know, they're kind of panicky because recognize what, you know, this is something bad coming.
So are you going to run for office anymore or do more filmmaking or do filmmaking or writing or what is it you're going to continue doing here so that as we move forward on this?
Yeah, well, I wish I was a little better with the computer and so forth. I need to get a number of my articles up on the website that's been idle for a while. I've got, unfortunately, paper articles or things that I've sent around, but they're not up on a site.
Uh-huh.
And I think short YouTubes is the most valuable thing now. The younger people watch them, and they're watching a lot of them. They don't like the long, long items. I think, 6 to 8, 12 minute YouTubes, and if you concatenate them or connect them together, you're going to get a lot further than a full DVD. But right now, the DVD still works for a lot of people if they're going to sit down and you know, watch through it. But I think when things get really panicky, we can meet what's going on almost instantaneously with a response, and I think that's good. I think Alex Jones has done a wonderful job with the people that have followed him, and they've been able to stay a little bit current with the technology. So I think I hope there'll be some spin-offs from that. And there's no one person. I think if one group or one organization gets too big, I think that's
dangerous for us.
That creates more problems.
Yeah.
So when people do have differences and want to try a different way, I think that's healthy. And even our little group over here that we have, I don't mind if people, you know, split off and go do something because that's good.
Right. So, Katie, do you have any last closing questions or anything? Or
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight and reiterate your website, which is themuckraker.net.
And you've also, isn't there another site that you have also that comes up with your name?
It might be Anthony's. We've got some articles on freeworldalliance.com, I think it is.
Okay. And
or freeworldfilmworks.com.
Yeah. That's where I found them, was on the freeworldfilmworks.com.
Okay. And so your closing comments, I guess, would be with
Well, I think I'm kind of happy with the activity, you know, I see going out there. And the reception has been, the reception is so much different than, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. People are much more interested, and you're not going to get anything, you know, slammed in your face or very seldom. So please use your freedom while you got it, and let's keep it, and let's expand it, and let's, you know, avoid a revolution by creating a revelation. And
you know, and I really want to thank you for coming on the program and spending the time with us, and keep up your good work. And you know, I hope you feel like you're, you know, after the period of time that you've been at it, that you know that it's getting us somewhere. Do you?
Oh, absolutely. No, you can see the other side squirming. And again, a lot of those people aren't disciplined all the way down the line. This is not. It's been compartmentalized, and I think they're going to have a problem. And that's why it's important for us to, you know, to reach our friends and our neighbors, and especially those in uniform, and make sure that they have the information. I think that Oath Keepers idea is a good program. I hope that stays clean, but I think that's really valuable for an approach to people in uniform and people in the service industry. Service meaning basics, utilities, you know, the gas and electric and water, and those people will be the people that are very important. It'd be very important that they have this information.
Well, again, Gary, I thank you for coming on the program, and thank you, Katie, and I'll say good night.
Well, thank you, Katie and Melody. You have a good evening.
Okay, good night. I had something I wanted to read that I just wanted to there was some poetry that I wish I would have read a couple of months ago before my late husband. He had gotten into quite a bit of poetry writing in the end, but I just thought I would just kind of add this before we close for the night. And one of his was called Conspiracies. And the problem with embracing every conspiracy theory proposed by every disillusioned cynic or every paranoid schizophrenic that comes along, no matter how entertaining or sadly ridiculous it may be, he quickly discovered, is that it not only destroys any credibility one may have had, but it also erodes the legitimacy of those theories that may have been correct. We didn't always agree on stuff. And the other one was Divided Will Stay. But not much. We're not so much a country anymore, but simply another nation, naively divided. But we're blue, we're red, we're left, we're right, we're up, we're down, we're dark, we're light, we're hopelessly lost. For we've not yet found the liberty our forefathers had, but sold away for security to the corporatists and the military. And until that crippling mistake's been erased, divided, of course, is where we'll stay. So I want to say good night for the evening, and we'll see you next week. And we'll have Dr. Doug Rocky, a military person who has been in charge of cleaning up the depleted uranium from the Gulf War I, on the program next week. He'll be coming back. So I'll say good night, and music is next.